Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and currently we're working our way through an in-depth study of Matthew chapter 24, which is an exciting study of the predictions that the Lord made of the events that'll take place before his second coming. This week we've been looking at the signs which will lead up to that second coming. And in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14, there's actually six signs that he say will precede his coming. These are number one, in verses 4 and 5, false Christ will arise up and deceive many. Number 2, in verses 6 to the first part of verse 7, wars and rumors of wars. Number 3, in the last part of verse 7 and verse 8, there'll be death through famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. The fourth sign is persecutions will arise up in verse 9. The fifth sign is defection or apostasy, found in verses 10 through 13, which we'll be looking at today. Then the sixth sign, which we'll look at tomorrow, is found in verse 14, that the gospel will be preached. So today we'll look at that fifth of six signs of defection or apostasy that will take place in the last days, found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 through 13. These verses read as follows: "And then many will be offended, and will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved." As I read there in verse 13, "those who endure to the end shall be saved." Again, this is another reason why I do believe that what is being described in verses 4 through 14 are signs that will take place during the tribulation period. Because here it speaks of enduring to the end. Those are the ones that are going to be saved. Those will be the ones that will be alive during that tribulation period. They've endured faithfully to the end. They did not deny the faith. They suffered persecution. They were the ones that were betrayed by one another. They were not led astray by the false prophets. And they didn't let the spirit of the world, this lawlessness that was abound, let their hearts grow cold. And those are the ones that will enter into that millennial kingdom and experience the salvation of the Lord. Obviously, those who first heard this prophecy were not called to endure to the end, which is a reference to the second coming very clearly in Matthew chapter 24. Also, in reference to the seal judgments in Revelation chapter 6, this would parallel the fifth seal recorded in verses 9 through 11 of the many martyrs that are going to be killed for their faith during that tribulation period. What I'd like to do for today's study is look at several passages of Scripture which speak about this falling away or this persecution or individuals turning on one another that'll happen during the tribulation period. And one of the main Scriptures that predict this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verses 1 through 3, which read this way. Paul says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." Now, he's going to tell them there's no way that we entered the tribulation period yet, because these things are going to be happening during that tribulation period. He says, verse 3, "Let no one deceive you by any means," whether that's someone gets a prophecy or a letter from the Apostle Paul or some angel shows up. He says, "For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." And that term falling away is apostasia, which most likely here is a reference to an apostasy, a falling away from the faith, and the man as soon as revealed, the son of perdition. So two main events will take place during the tribulation period. There's going to be a falling away from the faith, which will set the stage for the rising up of the man of sin, the Antichrist, to lead multitudes astray. Because there's going to be many that will listen to these false teachers and false prophets, and there's going to be great seduction and great deception, especially during that tribulation period. And one of the reasons that this will take place, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, is that the Antichrist will be empowered directly by the devil to do lying signs and wonders. This scripture reads as follows: "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." So the reason the Antichrist will be able to deceive so many is that he will do power, signs, and wonders. He'll do miracles, and people will validate that this person is from God because of the power that comes from him. But the real deception comes in verse 10, which says, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish," and here's why, "because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie." So what will happen in the last days is that Satan will work through the Antichrist, through a false power, and many will be deceived because they haven't really received a love for the truth. That's why it's so important to have a love for the study of the Word of God, to want to understand everything that is contained in that so that we're not led astray, so that we're not following after people just because they do some display of power and say they must be from God. Wait a minute, you need to check it out with the Word of God. Everything must be analyzed in light of Scripture. In the day and age in which we're living, that is so crucial. That's the safeguard. Jesus said that if you'd build your life upon his word, upon his teaching, it'd be like building upon a solid rock, and the storms are going to come and go, but your life is going to remain. Everything else is like building upon sand that's going to be washed away. And so these people in the last days, their life is going to be destroyed because they did not build upon the teaching of Christ. They didn't have a love for the truth, and they were led astray and deceived. The second passage, which contains the same truth, is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, which reads this way, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And that's the reason this love of many will grow cold, because they're loving pleasure rather than God and his truth. Then verse 5 says, and this is what makes this so dangerous, "having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." This word form means the outward appearance. It appears that their religion that they're following is godly, but it says it has no power. It has no power to change the heart, has no power to deliver from the bondage of sin and this bondage of being a lover of pleasure. It's interesting that this word form can relate to the idea of a ritual. So you're going to have these outward rituals of religion, but there's no real power of God. There's no real power of the gospel, no real power of the Holy Spirit to transform, to deliver, and to set free. That is a danger. So here you have people, even in our day, that are going to church, that are doing the outward ritual, thinking that they're right with God, but there's no real power to bring salvation. In the last days during the tribulation period, that will increase because the love of many will grow cold. There'll be very religious people, but there'll be no real true power of God to bring salvation. Dangerous, dangerous place to be. A few other scriptures which speak about this persecution and betraying of one another are found in the Gospels. In Mark chapter 13, verses 11 through 13, it reads this way, "But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you'll speak. For whatever is given you in that hour, speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you'll be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." That's what's going to be happening during the tribulation period, and the Lord's calling for those who would live during that tribulation period for endurance. Endure to the end. Don't worry that brother or mother or father is going to betray you and that you're going to be hated by all people. Endure to the end. Be faithful unto the Lord. The same thing is described in Luke chapter 21 and verses 14 through 19, which read this way, "Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will send some of you to your death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. In your patience possess your souls." So although man may bring persecution, it says not a hair of your head is going to be lost. Doesn't mean that some aren't going to die, because it says some will be delivered to death. But God is going to preserve their life. God is going to bring them into his everlasting kingdom. And during that last 7 years, during the tribulation period, there'll be many martyrs for the faith of Jesus Christ. But as you act patiently, it says you'll possess your souls, or you'll gain your souls. You'll gain eternal life. You'll inherit eternal life. You'll endure to the end and be saved. It's interesting that the two passages we read, the Lord says, don't worry about what you're going to say at that point. At that point, the Spirit of God will give you wisdom. Then the Lord will use it as a testimony, as an opportunity to preach the gospel. So although many will be put to death, the Lord will also use that as a time to preach, and the gospel going out into all the world, and many people have an opportunity in this last 7 year period to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we'll look at in our next study, that sixth sign, that the gospel will go out into all the world and all will be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we read the scriptures and we read about the last days, there's not a pessimism that's there. Yes, it describes an evil and dark time, one that is controlled by Satan, one that is controlled by the love of pleasure rather than the love of God. But yet in the midst of all that, God is going to bring about a work and save many people out of that tribulation period and preserve many through it. So I'd like to encourage you with one final passage from Luke chapter 21, verse 34, where the Lord says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly." So the Lord says, watch out for your soul. Watch out for your spiritual condition. Whatever generation the Lord will come back in, we still need to take heed to these scriptures, that our hearts not be weighed down with this life and the issues of this life. I don't know if the Lord's going to come back in my lifetime or in this generation. I'm not worried about that. What I'm concerned about is living for Jesus Christ each and every day that I get up, living for his purposes. And no matter what persecution may come against me, I would not allow that to quench out my heart. I would not allow that to have my heart get hard, whether it's brother betraying brother in the body of Christ or even from my own relatives. It doesn't matter. My desire is to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to the end of my life, whenever that may be. So I encourage you and challenge you to take heed to your own spiritual condition. Make sure that your heart is not being lulled to sleep, but you do what Jesus said, to occupy until he comes, that we'd be about our Father's business, that would be our very meat, to do the will of the Father. That'd be our love, our passion, and the thing that we are committed to first and foremost. May the Lord give us a grace to live in such a way. And if we could help you here at Solid Ground in any way in your study of the Bible, we offer some wonderful correspondence courses through audio tapes. Just give us a call here at our new toll-free number, 1-877-941-LAMB. Or you could look us up on the web, where there's an application for our Bible school, as well as the notes that I use for Solid Ground at www.calvarylm.org. Our supreme desire is to help you in your study of the Word of God. If we could do so in any way, please contact.